Lord God, we want to follow Jesus. We want to love others in his name, but it can feel so difficult when there are so many stereotypes and myths about Christians. We want to be accepting, but we are seen as judgmental. God, help us to recognize that these stereotypes are out there. Help us to see where they might have a grain of truth for us, and help us to overcome them by being a better kind of Christian. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, I don't think I need to convince anyone here of this, but it still bears saying, Christianity has a bad rap. If you look at the media, if you pay attention to the press or television or even on social media, there are all these stories circulating about the behavior and words of certain Christians that quite frankly make the rest of us look terrible. And what this means is that when you have a first encounter with somebody and they find out you're a Christian, oftentimes they'll treat you according to that stereotype they have in their heads rather than the unique individual that you are. And that can be one of the worst feelings in the world, to be treated like a stereotype rather than a human being. But friends, I also have hope that even though there are these stereotypes out there, we can take a negative stereotype and flip it on its head into a positive one. Now, a group of us here at Old South experienced this back in December 2017. We were having a Bible study at Burton's Bar and Grill where we would gather together and share dessert. So we called it Sweet Jesus, of course. And the Bible study was very simple in format. We got together, we talked a little bit about our life, we read scripture, we discussed what we learned from scripture, then we shared our prayer joys and prayer concerns, and we concluded with a word of prayer. And sometimes after we said prayer, I would look up and just glance around the restaurant, and there were so many people looking back at us with these looks in their eyes where they didn't need to say a word. You could just tell there was some kind of judgment there, and it was not a great feeling. But friends, let me tell you, in spite of all those negative looks, there was a moment that told me that we were doing the right thing by just staying true to the teachings of Jesus and praying for one another. One day after we were done praying, a young man, a waiter from Burton's Bar and Grill, came up to us and he asked us what church we were from. So we said we were from Old South Union Church over at Columbian Square, and the young man said to us, "You know what, that's fantastic. I'm so glad that y'all are here. You know, I'm a Christian too." And then he rolled up his sleeve and showed us a cross that he had tattooed on his right wrist. And then the young man asked if we would be willing to pray for his father, who had recently been diagnosed with cancer. And so we told this young man, "Of course, we would love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you and your family and your father, that all of you may know God's healing love and presence." And then the young man went on his way and he continued with his work at Burton's Bar and Grill, and the rest of us talked amongst ourselves, and we realized that it was so fascinating that on that very day, we had prayed for someone in our group who had a loved one battling cancer. And look at the ways that even though all these other people at Burton's Bar and Grill may think that we are crazy Christians praying in public, even though everyone else may have been stereotyping us, we were able to reach out to this one young man and to offer prayers for his father. So we took that negative stereotype and we flipped it on our heads simply by remaining faithful to Jesus. And so, friends, that's honestly what I believe we can do with all of the stereotypes that we're going to encounter in this sermon series. And trust me, a lot of these stereotypes are a lot more painful than being a crazy Christian praying in public. But before we can even begin to talk about how do we deal with these stereotypes, we need to know, what are the stereotypes in the first place? How do we even find this out? Well, the good news for us is that there are people out there who've already done the research, they've already asked the hard questions to learn what are the stereotypes that non-Christians have of Christians. And so throughout this sermon series, you'll hear me and Reverend Jenny referencing this book. It's called Weird Church. You can find it on Amazon, you can buy it for $15 to $20, it's really easy. And if you have any questions on it, you can ask me or Reverend Jenny. You can also ask the Most Reverend Don Rimmick, who's in the back right there. He has lectures that he actually delivers on Weird Church, so he is definitely our in-house expert on this book. And one of the things the authors of this book make really clear is that Christianity does have a bad rap among potentially billions of people around the world. And the reason we have this bad rap is not necessarily because the majority of Christians are doing bad things, but because that's what the media focuses on, because that's where the focus is on the televangelists and on the churches that do problematic things and protest for the wrong causes. Now, I like to believe that Reverend Jenny and myself preach a different message than the typical televangelist, and I also like to believe that this congregation is different than the typical church you'll see problematically portrayed in the media. But it doesn't necessarily matter if we behave differently, because the first time a non-Christian interacts with us, they're going to be interacting with us based on the stereotype, because all the information they have comes from those media sources. And so, friends, we need to be aware of the stereotypes that are out there. We need to know what people think about us so that we can respond appropriately. And so, friends, I'm going to be going over the top five stereotypes, and you can read along with me. Each of you has in your bulletin a two-sided insert. One side has the hymn that we just sung before the sermon, and the other side has the top five stereotypes. So as I go over these, I invite you to be reading along with me. And the only thing I'll point out is that this research was done by a group called the Barna and Pew Research Group, and they were specifically asking young adults, millennials, people in their 20s and 30s who did not go to church, what they thought about church. And for me, this is really interesting data, because people in their 20s and 30s are the most unchurched group in recent history. Less people in their 20s and 30s go to church than people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and even, believe it or not, than people who are in their teens right now. So this is a really interesting group for us to pay attention to learn about stereotypes. And once again, these stereotypes are not necessarily true. So if you hear them and it feels like it's hurtful, don't take it personally. These are just what other people out there are already thinking, so we're just passing along information. The first stereotype you'll see on this list is that churches are judgmental. Who here has ever heard that before, that churches are judgmental? I see a few hands. Okay, now I see a lot more hands going up. This is a very common stereotype. A lot of people think this, and this is a huge barrier to relationships, because why would you want to be friends with a Christian or go to a church where there's a group of Christians if you thought they were judgmental? And as I will point out in the second half of this sermon, for me, this is such an ironic stereotype because it so clearly goes against the teachings of Jesus. Now, the second stereotype we have here is that churches are too focused on money. That church is a racket, it's a big business, and the only reason the pastors ask for money is to pay their salary and pay for this beautiful building that we're in right now. So who here has ever heard that churches are a big business, that it's a racket, we're too focused on money? About the same number of people. Okay, so you can see some commonalities right here. Now, a third stereotype is that churches are wrong just as often as we're right. Now, this one takes a little bit of explanation. A few weeks ago, when I preached about following Jesus Christ as the King of Truth, I talked about this stereotype. And I may have not fully represented it, because part of the problem is indeed that Christians are seen as pushing half-truths and lies. The bigger problem is that churches are seen as being on the wrong side of important issues. Churches are seen as being full of people who have hatred and bigotry instead of people who are about love and justice and mercy. And again, this is a huge problem, because why would you want to be part of an organization that you thought was on the wrong side of important issues? So who here has ever heard that Christians are in the wrong, that Christians are on the wrong side of an issue? Again, this is not what you personally think. This is what you have heard. A lot of hands are going up. Now, the fourth one is that church is boring. Now, let me tell you, this is something that I've heard time and time again, especially from my friends in their 20s and 30s, even from people who believe in Jesus and believe in the Bible. Y'all, I have a friend who reads the Bible every day and hasn't been to church in 5 years because he finds church boring. So, friends, who here has heard that church is boring and that's why people don't go to church? More hands went up for that than anything else. I think that's really telling right there. So how can we show people that church is not boring, but this is supposed to be a place where our passions come alive? How can we do that, y'all? And fifth and finally, churches are seen as being all talk and no walk. And what this means is that when a pastor or a Christian teacher says something from the pulpit, they do something completely different in their private life. So who here has heard that before, that churches are all talk and no walk, that we don't do what we teach? Slightly less people than the others, but still a good number of people. And again, that's a huge problem, because why would you want to join a church if you thought everyone in there was just hypocrites who never did anything that they said they wanted you to do? All right, I got one more question for y'all. Who here has heard all five stereotypes before coming into church on Sunday? So honestly, that's about a third of the people in the room. So that's probably about 60 or 70 people in this room right now have heard all of those stereotypes. And again, that's not super surprising to me because I've heard these all before. When I presented these research findings at church council back in November, a lot of people said the same thing. And so I hope you realize when I'm sharing this information, I'm not sharing what I believe, I'm not sharing what I think is true about you or anybody here. I'm sharing what other people outside these walls already think about church, and it's important for us to know it so we know how to respond. So how do we respond to this information? As I see it, there are three options. Option number one, we can just ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. But let's be honest, that's not going to work out. It's not going to work out, one, because the problem's going to continue to exist, and it's also not going to work out because we may accidentally find ourselves engaged in behavior that confirms the stereotype. Imagine, if you will, for example, that you have a non-Christian friend and you're in a conversation with them and you're talking about your favorite charity, and then you ask that Christian friend to give a donation to that charity. If that non-Christian friend has the stereotype that churches care too much about money, what have you accidentally done? You've confirmed for him the stereotype that churches care about money. Even though it's a good and worthy cause, that stereotype has just accidentally been confirmed for him. So we can't ignore the stereotypes. So maybe we should get defensive and reactive. Maybe we should argue with people about how wrong they are about their views. Now, to be honest, I don't think that's going to work either, because if we start to get in an argument with somebody, for example, who thinks Christians are judgmental, they're going to be justified in their judgment that we were judgmental. And so, friends, I don't believe arguing is the solution either. We can't ignore this. We can't argue about it. Instead, what I want to propose, and what Reverend Jenny wants to propose as well, is that instead of getting reactive, we should get proactive. The best way to overcome stereotypes of Christians is for you and me to be better types of Christians ourselves. And this actually isn't that hard or complicated, because when you look at this list of five stereotypes, every single one of these so clearly goes against the teachings of Jesus and the Bible. When Reverend Jenny and I were trying to pick scriptures for this sermon series, we had to weed out dozens of options because there were just too many verses of the Bible that clearly taught us to not be judgmental, to not be too focused on money, to be in the right, to walk the walk and not just talk the talk, and to live passionate lives so we don't fall into boring routine. And so every sermon in this series is going to talk about how we can overcome these stereotypes, not by being less Christian, but by being more Christian, by leaning more deeply into the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, for the last few minutes in today's sermon, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to talk about this first stereotype, that churches are judgmental, and what we can do about it. Now, when I was doing research for today's sermon, I learned something interesting. If you go to Google and you ask Google, what is the most common question that people are asking on the internet about Christians? It turns out the number one question people are asking is, why are Christians so judgmental? That means billions of people around the world on a daily basis are searching for that very question for it to be so popular. And that can be a hurtful thing to realize, that the dominant view of Christians is that we are judgmental people. And it's also so surprising to realize that's the case, because it so clearly goes against the teachings of Jesus. As we read in today's scripture, Jesus Christ explicitly taught us to not be judgmental. He made it a cornerstone of his very first sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount. He wanted his followers to avoid judgment because he knew that we would accidentally fall prey to judgment, and that when we judge other people, it makes the world judge us in turn. And so Jesus made it as plain and simple as he could. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment that you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. In other words, friends, if we judge other people, not only are we opening ourselves up to judgment by God, we also open ourselves up to judgment by the world around us. Now, I want to pause for a quick minute and say that, in general, I hope and pray that when Christians do make judgmental statements, they're trying to make them out of a place of love. Because I do think that Christians, as a general rule of thumb, want the world to be a better place. We want people to live moral lives. We want society to be governed by the laws of justice and mercy. And those are good things. The problem comes when you see televangelists and people in the media judging everybody else and not even looking at their own hearts. The message that sends to non-Christians is that we do not take the teachings of Jesus seriously, that we're judging everyone else besides ourselves. And so, friends, I'm going to suggest that instead of judging other people, we should look at our own hearts. We should do some self-examination. And that's exactly the point Jesus Christ is making when he gives this metaphor about the honking beam of wood coming out of one person's eye who notices a speck of sawdust in somebody else's eye. Now, this is a humorous metaphor, but like I've said, it has a serious point. Because if you have a beam of wood coming out of your eye, first of all, you can't even see clearly. How do you really know there's a speck of sawdust in someone else's eye? But there's another point that we often miss. If you have a beam of wood coming out of your eye, how are you going to take a speck of sawdust out of someone else's eye without doing them real damage? Or to put it in modern terms, if you were to go to the eye doctor for surgery and the doctor were to tell you he left his bifocal lenses at home, would you still let that doctor operate on you? The answer is probably no. And in the same way, people are not going to trust us to make judgments about them unless we've done some self-examination ourselves. And friends, what I want to suggest is that if we just stay with self-examination, we'll find that there's enough flaws within our own hearts for us to never have to judge another person ever again. Now, to be fair, some of the most non-judgmental people I know are Christians. They're people who take Jesus so seriously that Christians and non-Christians, people of all stripes, just flock to them. They want to share with these kind of people their highest joys and their deepest sorrows. They want to confess these people the things they've done wrong because they know that these people would never judge them. They know that these people would love them unconditionally. And I like to think that at our best, Old South Union Church is a community that strives to be like that. We are a place that loves all people, whether you are young or old, male or female, single or in a family or in a marriage, whether you're gay or straight, black or white, Republican or Democrat, whether you're blue collar or white collar, we love you and we want you to find a home here. Imagine if we could broadcast that message of love and inclusion to the world around us. Imagine how many people's stereotypical views of church would be changed if we could do that. Now, friends, the other thing that I learned from my Christian friends who are so good at non-judgment is how good they are at self-reflection. The reason these people don't judge others is because they know their own flaws, their own brokenness, their own sinfulness so well that they would never even bother to tell someone else what's going on wrong with them. They start with themselves, and they've realized they've got so much to work on that they just stay there for the rest of their lives. And so, friends, I'm not going to challenge us to spend the rest of our lives working on self-reflection because I think that's a heavy task. Instead, I want us to practice a specific form of self-reflection and non-judgment. I want everybody in this room to take this piece of paper right now with the top five stereotypes. I want you to fold it up, and I want you to put it in your purse or in your pocket so that it will come home with you. You are not allowed to recycle this or throw this away. And what I want you to do this week is to just spend 5 minutes reading over these stereotypes without judgment. Don't get angry at the people who are saying these things because they're not saying them to be hateful or spiteful. This is the only thing they know to say based on their experience of Christians in the media. So don't read this in judgment. Instead, read this and look at your own heart and ask yourself, is there some way that I have accidentally or intentionally fallen into this stereotype? To just throw myself under the bus for a moment, when I looked over this sheet of paper, I realized that I definitely suffer from judgmentalism. Oftentimes, I'll judge my father or my sister because they have this bad habit of forgetting things at home, especially when the family is going for a long car ride. We'll be about 15 or 20 minutes into the trip, and my father will go, "Oh, you know what? I forgot the tickets back at home." And I judge my father so hard for that. But you know who else suffers from forgetfulness? Me. I would say at least once or twice a week, I'll drive all the way to church from home only to realize I left my keys or my phone or my iPad back in my apartment. One time, y'all, my girlfriend and I were traveling from Weymouth to Niagara Falls, Canada, and 2 hours into our trip, I realized I left our passports back home. And so here I am judging my father and my sister for something that I know I suffer from. And when I think about that, it makes me realize I also suffer from judgmentalism. And so when people talk about Christians being judging, I know that at least a little bit, they're talking about me. So I've got some work to do. I've got a log in my own eye, and I've got some work to do to take it out. Now, you may not suffer from judgmentalism, but when you look through this list, maybe you realize, you know, maybe I care a little bit about money more than I should. Maybe I've been on the wrong side of a few issues every now and then. You know, maybe I've fallen into boring routine instead of life-giving, passionate ministry. Maybe I've talked the talk one way and walked in the opposite direction. Or maybe I could be completely wrong about this, and maybe there's somebody in this room who suffers from not a single one of these flaws. And friends, if that is the case, I want you to come grab me during the handshake line so I can take you out for lunch and try to convince you to preach the rest of this sermon series. But all joking aside, friends, in all seriousness, I believe that Scripture speaks truth when it says that there was only one who was born and lived without sin, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the rest of us are simply trying to be more like him. And so, friends, to wrap up, let us remember during this sermon series on stereotypes that the best way to overcome stereotypes of Christians is to work to be better kinds of Christians ourselves. And that means we have to do some hard work. We have to do some self-reflection. And so my challenge for us this week is not to judge people who have shared these stereotypes with us, but instead to work on our own hearts, to think which of these stereotypes may have a glimmer of truth for me. And then I hope you come back next Sunday and the Sundays after that so we can continue to dig into these stereotypes together to follow Jesus more fruitfully and more faithfully. Amen.